Welcome to the Coin Podcast Network.
Looking back now, none of us had much of an idea how our lives were about to change 1 year ago. We were coming off of the news of basketball star Kobe Bryant being killed in a helicopter crash. President Trump's first impeachment trial had just ended with his acquittal. Parasite won Best Picture at the Oscars. For the most part, things seemed normal. And then they weren't. The first part of the Coin Podcast Network's look back at a full year of covering the coronavirus pandemic features an interview with Dr. Donna Hansel. She's the chair of the Department of Pathology and Laboratory Medicine at Oregon Health and Sciences University in Portland. She explains the biggest discoveries in the fight against COVID-19 so far and what the next year could bring. I'm Ian Costello. It is Tuesday, February 16th, and you are listening to Beyond the Headlines on the Coin Podcast Network.
Thank you for spending some time with me today. Do you prefer Donna, Dr. Hansel?
You know, I think thinking about the female perspective in this, how about Dr. Hansel?
2019, just before Christmas, my wife traveled to New York for some business, and her employer, before she got on the plane, handed her a mask and just said, hey, some people are starting to get a little concerned. Here's this mask. Take it if you want it. Throw it in your purse. Whatever. You're going to have it with you. A couple months later, she and I are visiting some college friends of ours in Austin, Texas. It's the first weekend of March. Coronavirus had been a thing. We had heard about it. Obviously, it came up in my news editorial meetings. It was out there. But we're sitting at this table at this bar in Austin in the first week of March. I could hear text alerts, and I could hear people getting news updates on their phone, and I could feel a palpable shift in the attitude as the news started to break that South by Southwest, their huge festival, was getting canceled. Do you remember where you were? Can you describe for me that moment where you said to yourself, this is going to be big?
I do remember. It was the evening of February 28th. My family and I were at dinner getting ready to go to the Harry Potter filming downtown. And my children attend the Lake Oswego School District. And I heard about it first through a text message from the school, where they notified all of the parents that the first case had been identified in the Lake Oswego School District. And immediately, I reached out to our infectious disease head. And from that night on, it was constant work and constant news coming out almost in real time.
So we first start hearing about COVID-19 early in the winter of 2019. And when we talk about those first few months, let's say that time between Christmas of last year and the first confirmed deaths here in the United States, what were we learning early? What were the first big discoveries about this coronavirus that when you look back on it now, you can say that that piece of information was really important early on?
I think going back, we knew that it was spreading quite quickly in China. And I think in retrospect, we could look back and say, we probably should have realized that it was coming. And so the first awareness when we heard about the first cases in the US were indeed, did we expect that it would be that easily contained, knowing what we know about viruses and especially coronaviruses? And I think that was the first realization. I think after that, there was a lot of discussion, as you mentioned, about wearing masks and do they help or do they not? And our country went through a large evolution in recognizing the importance of masks and that they do help prevent disease. I think there was a lot of awareness as well about what viruses were, what they do, and a lot of discussion on how they transmit. And so how to develop safety precautions that would work to still get us to do the essential services we had to do, but not spread the infection was really important.
Do you think we missed an opportunity with masks early?
I think so. I know when we compare to countries that not only use masks, but took more aggressive social measures, such as extended lockdowns, we see that the rates were able to come down. Indeed, New Zealand's a really terrific case example of how that worked well. You know, that being said, there was a lot to learn. And I think no one had the right answer early on. And so in retrospect, we can always say, yes, we should have done this or we should have done that. But the truth is, it was learning and information coming out in real time, just like it did that night of February 28th.
From your position as the chair of the pathology department at OHSU, what have you been a part of and what research tools have you used in this fight that you see playing a huge role in how we continue to handle the coronavirus?
Early on, the first tools, of course, were the PCR tests or polymerase chain reaction tests. You know, we've also seen antigen tests emerge and the public discussing their utility and us in the pathology space discussing their utility. Other tools we've seen emerge are antibody tests, where early on we went from this discussion of, quote, immunity passports, end quote, which we know no longer maybe were the way to think about using these. But the question is, do we use antibody tests post-vaccine? You know, other tests that are really starting to emerge right now are variant sequencing. And we have a large center here at OHSU that, you know, the group of us who work on the sequencing are looking for new variants that emerge here within the state. But we're also looking to identify variants from outside of the state. So the South African variant, UK variant, the Brazil variant, et cetera. And more we're seeing sequencing becoming quite important in how we track and understand the virus, especially how we think about the virus responding to vaccines and how the virus could change how we think not only about vaccines, but how we start to think about testing and different types of testing that we can employ.
When we speak about COVID-19 specifically and think about this year, roughly the last 13 months, in which more than 26 million Americans have tested positive, more than 2 million people have died around the world, what do we know about this virus today that we didn't know in the middle of February last year that you would consider to be the most important?
Probably the most important thing that we learned, and learned relatively early in the course, was that this coronavirus was a bit different than other coronaviruses and how it acted in the body and how it affected people differently. And we're starting to learn more and more about the biology of this virus, so how it interacts with cells, how that's different between people, and importantly, how people's immune systems respond to it and respond to it differently. So looking back since February, we better understand what risk factors are for more severe disease. We understand that there's still a lot we don't know and have to study, especially the role of the virus and how it affects the vascular system and what impacts some people being long haulers and others not. I think that a lot of the work that will be going on over the next year is really going to focus on better understanding those differences so we can better diversify the treatments that we have for patients, but also better customize the type of treatments that people receive.
You and I talked a little bit before about tools and technology. What's next on the horizon in that vein, Dr. Hansel? What tools have been developed or improved or perfected that you see aiding in the fight against not only the coronavirus, but the fight against viruses that will, with almost certainty, cause the pandemics of the future?
So one of the biggest advances has been the use of mRNA vaccines. You know, the Pfizer vaccine is one, the Moderna vaccine is another. That's a new technology, and those are good tools in that they can be rapidly modified. And I see continued use of the mRNA vaccines in that sense, and coupling that with ongoing sequencing of variants. That has been in play since relatively early in the pandemic, but is just now getting attention. And it's important because we can partner the two technologies, meaning if you identify a specific viral sequence that causes, you know, more spread of disease or causes worse disease, you can start to tailor your vaccines quite quickly to respond to that. So those two technologies I see continuing to move forward. Another big change that we've seen is that the public is aware of what pathology testing is and how the different tests vary. And we're also seeing more direct use testing, meaning you could buy COVID tests in the grocery store now, and people understand more and more how to use it. And so that's been, I think, an important tool, and I think we'll continue to expand in how we test for disease and so testing start preventing transmission. I think where we still need to work on is developing T cell tests, meaning, you know, the antibodies test the B cell response that we have, but there's a whole other component to the immune system in responding to viruses, which are the T cells. And there's a number of assays that are currently in process to better understand this part of the immune response and what it means. It may be important in people who tend to be asymptomatic, for example. And we're also working more and more to develop neutralizing antibody tests, meaning the tests that we have now for antibodies are good at saying you've been probably exposed to it, you've responded to the vaccine, but are the antibodies that you have the ones that actually prevent the virus from binding to your cells and giving you really bad disease? And those special category of antibodies are called neutralizing antibodies. And those tests are more involved, but there's a lot of work in that space now.
Obviously, we can all root for our situation and the conditions surrounding the pandemic to be significantly improved over the coming 12 months or so. Dr. Hansel, thank you so much for spending some time with me today. If you and I were to spend a half hour talking 1 year from today, what do you hope we will know about this coronavirus that we don't know when we're having this conversation right now?
I think we'll know a lot more about how the different vaccines work and how they work against the variants that we're seeing. I think taking that in context, we'll have a better sense of knowing whether we need vaccine boosters every year, how long we think this virus will be around. Is it going to be something that will be with us for many, many, many years to come? And I think all of those questions will help determine what we do as far as precautionary measures moving forward with schools, for example. I think a year from now, we're also going to have a lot more experience of having children back in schools in some sort of model, whether it's hybrid or other. And I think we'll be able to take that information and make much more informed decisions about how we move forward with schools and how we can translate some of that knowledge back to businesses and other social activities that we do.
What do you wish people knew or people understood better that perhaps they don't?
I think people are tired of thinking about COVID. There are some people who maybe have not been affected by it or have been fortunate and not had disease, even if they were infected. But it's really important for everyone to maintain safety precautions. So wearing masks, social distancing, washing your hands, being mindful if you travel, to be as careful as possible and follow those safety precautions. Even though we don't perhaps see the virus affecting each one of us the same way, it's how we all act collectively that makes a big difference. And so if we really want to reduce the spread of this virus in the country, that we really want to get businesses back open and schools back open, we need to reduce this virus and how it spreads. That's the one thing I would just say is, even though on a personal note, I recognize people think about this virus differently, the way that we can all get closer back to what we remember things were like before COVID is by each one of us being careful. That will really help open up avenues to start thinking about reopening more and more.
Dr. Donna Hansel, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.
Next week, we return to the OHSU campus for a conversation with vaccine expert Dr. Mark Slifka about how the sprint to develop COVID-19 vaccines is just the next step in the long marathon to fight all disease. That will do it for us today. Thank you for listening to the COIN Podcast Network. We will talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to the COIN Podcast Network. You can listen to more great COIN podcasts on coin.com/podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Please listen, download, subscribe, and review.